Quickening is not just a matter of quickening us toward God. It's also a quickening toward evil. And so the choice is always up to the person, the individual person, how they're going to respond to that quickening. Anyway, this message was born out of that understanding. I do want to say, before I even get into the message, I know that Elizabeth Hugo said that we're going to have children's things, and we will, starting next week. She forgot. She's down in, they're doing a wedding. Oh, you did. Okay, good. But it will start next week for sure, right, for the kids, because we really want to have something for the kids. It's important. Anyway, so I had this this vision. Most of you know that I worked in the garment center years ago. And so here in the vision, I'm standing in the midst of a crowd in a lobby. And it was one of those big buildings that had one of those really fast elevators. I don't know if you've ever been in one. I think the Empire State Building has one too. Well, the World Trade Center did also. It just, you get in this thing and it just shoots you. Like it skips the first, the ones you get in that go to the higher floors skip the initial floors, and they just poof. And I felt, wow, because it was scary. And yet I knew, because I was positioned in that lobby, that I was to get in that elevator. And so, Gail, you know, I know that these elevations sometimes are scary, and they require something. But I just want to encourage you today, if you listen to this message, I think God will answer some of those questions. And even what you were saying, sister, you know, that's why I didn't want you to continue, because I really want to bring some.
Well, that's the Holy Spirit, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And that's the important thing, because the Holy Spirit is not a schizophrenic, right? I've said that many times. He will always say the same thing as he's speaking, if we have ears to hear. But I want to speak it in a kind of orderly way that I felt like God gave it to me today. And so I want to just add to what you're saying today. I was thinking about these times that you were speaking about as well, that there's a movement of the Spirit in the earth, and it's a quickening spirit. So things are going to go more rapidly. But the quickening times, sometimes, if you make the right choice, will elevate where you happen to be spiritually and bring you to a whole nother place. And this happened for us in 1996. I had been in the garment center up until that point. I was ordained. And then shortly after that, Pastor Gary invited us to go down to Morningstar Ministries, and we attended what was called the Heart of David Worship Conference, Worship and Warfare. And it really radically changed, you know, being in that place, because I was willing to go and I was open to receive. It really radically changed everything for me. It changed the way that we worship, but it also changed my whole understanding of teaching, Christianity in general. And you know what? It happened unexpectedly, and it happened quickly. You know, one moment I'm in one mindset doing one thing in a particular way, and the next moment I'm totally somewhere else, and I'm like, whew. I mean, we got totally blown back. And our question was, we were driving home from North Carolina, is how are we going to present this to the church? Well, first we asked the Lord if we could stay there, North Carolina. He said, no, you got to get in the elevator. So as we're driving back, we said, how are we going to present this? Because we can't go back to doing what we were doing. It's all going to be different. And, you know, we had a small church at the time. And, you know, people don't like change, do they? And we knew it was going to really upset the apple cart for a lot of people. But we knew we had to follow what God was showing us and where he was leading us. One, two. Okay, there we go again. I don't know why it went off, but anyway, as we embrace these different realities, or these different aspects of reality, that's what happens. Our perceptions change, and our perceptions of what's going on actually change the reality that we live. And by that I mean, you know, how we interact with what's going on. It could be the same circumstances, but we change. Our perspective changes, and our perspective a lot of times is dependent. or the change in our perspective is really dependent a lot of time on how aware are we, not just what's naturally going on around us, but what God is doing in the spirit. In other words, am I looking toward God? Am I waiting? Do I have an expectation for God? And like I said, I had an expectation for God. I had just got ordained, but I didn't really think he was going to do something that was that. Okay, so being aware is important. Awareness a lot of times depends on revelation. You know, what's revealed to me? And I don't mean just like the spiritual revelation. I'm just talking about when we're paying attention to what's going around, God is able to reveal things to us. That kind of revelation. That revelation will make us aware. That awareness will bring revelation. That will change perspective, and perspective will change the way that we approach stuff. And I'm saying all this because I feel, again, God is bringing us to this time of quickening. And a quickening is like an acceleration. Things are going to speed up. It's a time specifically that our awareness, I believe, can become more acute. It can become more focused, even as we talked about the lasers and the rubies there several weeks or a month ago, whatever it was. The second part of this whole different thing is the choice of level. We can choose the level. Because there's an acceleration doesn't necessarily mean we're automatically going to go to this level. We have to say, yes, Lord. And we have to say yes without first knowing what floor we're going to end up on. But I believe that as we say yes, that God makes the grace available to us to enable us to come to that elevated level. And at that level, he will make a new awareness available to us. Does that make sense? But he does this specifically so that our spiritual eye level will increase. It'll be lifted. And I think that's what happened with me when I had this vision of the elevator, because I've been spending time with God. I'm believing that God does speak like this, and he wants to speak to his church this way, not just people who stand in front of the pulpit. Because I was prepared for it, I was able to hear it and receive it, and I believe that God is going to bring an elevation. And what Pastor Marie said is absolutely true. If he shows it to us, it's for you also. It's not just us. We're just purveyors. We're just the conduits of what God is saying to us. And if your heart is open, you'll receive it as well. So anyway, we're talking about David, right? It was the Heart of David conference, and there were many things that was spoken about David. And so I really started to study the life of David after that. And so it's been over 20 years, 22 years or whatever it's been. So I want to share something from you. It's from 1 Samuel. I'm not going to read it all because it's several chapters. So I'll go over some of the highlights. You know most of the story already, and I will read a little bit of the scripture itself later. So here's David. He's a shepherd. He's got a lot of brothers. He's got the job of tending the sheep. Pretty boring if you think about it. He's out on the hill, he's watching the sheep, but it allows him to spend time with God, allows him to sing music and hear the Lord. And a lot of times we need that. We need that separated time. So David's there, he's sitting on the hill, and he's probably bored. He's watching the sheep. There's no lions or bears threatening the sheep this particular day. And so he's just, you know, hanging out. And then suddenly he looks down the valley, and there's the commotion at his house, at his parents' house. And he's wondering, what the heck is going on down there? And suddenly somebody comes up and tells him, hey, come on down to the house. Dad wants to see you. Sam the prophet's here. But he wants to talk to you as well. So David probably walks in the house, and Samuel says, oh, here he is. And David's probably thinking, now just put yourself in this mindset. You're a little shepherd boy, right? You walk into this house, there's this big commotion. The prophet of Israel is in your house. He says, oh, here he is. David's probably thinking, uh-oh, what did I do? Samuel whips out a flask of oil, pours it over his head, and anoints him. Says, okay, you're the next king of Israel. What? Talk about a quickening. Talk about an elevation. Now, maybe David heard the Holy Spirit say to him on the mountain when he was just sitting there watching the sheep. Maybe he heard the Holy Spirit say, oh, David, you're going to have an elevation. He's probably thinking, you know, I'm going to get to boss my brothers around a little bit. You know, maybe I won't have to sit with the sheep all the time. But king of Israel? Is that possible? And so he just receives it, right? He's got to receive it because his folks are there and the prophet just anointed him with oil. David's going, hey, king, okay. Swimming pools, palace, my pick of the women. Just like any kid would do. All right, I think I can dig that. So they have this like little ceremony, and then it's over, and Samuel leaves, and dad says to David, okay, go back and and tend to the sheep. So here he goes from king of Israel to shepherd boy again. But now something's changed. See, there's been a prophetic word. And so I want to just share this with you. I want you to take note of this. When an elevation, when God is going to bring an elevation in your life, you will have a prophetic word as well. Now, I don't just mean, you know, the prophetic words that we're used to, so saith the Lord, that kind of thing. Maybe it will be that. But as you are becoming more mature in the Spirit, you're hearing the Holy Spirit speaking that word to your heart. The prophetic word is God speaking to your heart. Most of the training that we've been doing, especially in the small group, is about how to hear God individually, in your heart, and then to as a safety measure, to check it out with your brothers and sisters in the Lord or your teachers. So anyway, so David hears him, says, okay, he gets back there, but there's a shift now. And sometimes those shifts, when you get that prophetic word and somebody speaks something over you that's not yet happened, but will be in your future, there's an awkwardness to it. Think about how he's going to relate to his parents now, to his brothers, how they're going to relate to him, because they all heard this word, right? Everything has changed. What is the anointed king to be? How does he act? And sometimes we're in that place. We're in that liminality. You know, it's that in-between place. We receive the word from the Lord. There's something that we see that's ahead of us, and yet it's not yet happened. And so that's that place where we need to guard ourselves, because the enemy will seek to steal that word. Everything is the same on one level, and everything is different on another level. Everything has changed. And that's the thing with God things. Many times, those things are inconvenient. They're confusing. We don't know what to do. You're going along and you're doing your life, you're doing this and that and the other thing, it seems to be working or whatever you have, your ups and downs, whatever. And then suddenly a word comes out, there's an elevation, there's a quickening. And what, even if it's a good word, even if it's a God word, you get confused. Because God has swooped in and picked you up. And now he's depositing you in a higher place, a higher platform. It's really, but we didn't talk about this, so it's really funny that all of you have said various parts of this message. And the thing is that when God does this, you're not quite ready for it. You're like, well, wait a minute. Maybe I could practice a little bit. You know, I don't want to go to that high mountain. Why don't you How about not king? How about we start with, I don't know, prince or something, you know? Sometimes it's inconvenient. It's scary because we're not quite ready for it. I want to go higher with you, God, but I really didn't mean that high or that fast. I was thinking about something in the middle, God. Right? But we never know where that elevator is going to take us to. God elevates us, and he elevates us quickly sometime, and that acceleration can take your breath away, literally. It could make you scared because you don't know what to do. You've been on one of those, anybody ever been on one of those fast elevators? I mean, it could take your stomach, go into your mouth, you know? It's like, whoa. And when you're feeling that way and you're in between, your emotions are all over the place, right? Your emotions are all over the place. You have conflicting, well, I love, like in your case, I love my mother, I hate my mother, I want to help her, I would like to choke her. Yeah. You know, let's be real. I mean, you know, let's face it. We've all felt it, so why are we going to play pussyfoot around here, right? And we know her mother. Her mother used to attend this church here. So we really do want to choke her. I'm going to throw a headlock on her when I see her, that's for sure. Now, here's the thing. Our emotions get all over the place. And so we're elevated to this place, this new realm, this new platform. And now we're starting to say, yeah, you know, I could see where God is. I don't know how to do this, but I know that this God is in this. So now we're there. We're at this operating platform. That's only the half of it. The next part of it is how to stay there. How do you stay there? Because you think that your enemy, and believe me, we have an enemy in the spirit. A very real enemy. And he wants to knock you off that perch. He saw what God did, and he doesn't like that. Oh, no. Because it's just like what Pastor Marie was saying about this guy, Mike, you know? We went in there, we prayed for him for months. He was scared out of his brain. You know, we were giving testimony of it, right? The doctor had told him he definitely had cancer. And then he said, well, you know, I think maybe I should go to a different doctor. And we encouraged him to go to the different doctor. And then the other doctor just handled it, and he didn't have cancer. And matter of fact, he took him off the medicine. And what it did was it elevated Mike to the place where when he heard that one of the girls that were working at the bakery was told that she had thyroid cancer, he moved out in faith. Do you think the devil was happy with that? He prayed for that girl and she doesn't have cancer. He's jumping up and down. We couldn't wait for us to get to the bakery this morning. Seriously. And Pastor didn't say it, but I said, he tells the story. I said, oh, God is good. Yeah, there's nobody bigger than him. Little Italian guy, you know. There's nobody bigger than God. Just like that. That's right, Mike. Well, we had a good laugh at that. But God now has moved on Mike, and Mike is now moving in the same power that was imparted to him. The enemy will never be happy with that. So how to stay there? That's the second issue. See, because there's in spiritual battles, there's always those two parts. There's the getting there, and then there's the staying there. See, because there are people who actually win spiritual battles and get free of whatever particular thing that's binding them, and then they lose the battle to stay free. How many times have you heard it? People get delivered, and next thing you know, they're back and forth, and I mean, we heard of a young man recently, he had beaten drugs, and the next thing you know, he's 33 years old, he comes home, his family finds him dead. Overdosed. He didn't hold the ground for whatever reason. So, when everything radically changed for David, getting back to David, David had to learn something. He had to learn how to function at this higher level so that he could stay there. He had to learn to abide in God at that place, in that level, at that level. How do you do it? Well, you ask, Lord, how do I abide in you here? It's always a good way to start. See, and God will always answer. You know why? Because God loves process. And that's what this is. You know, he's willing to help us work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Because that's what Paul instructed the Philippian church, didn't he? He said, it's up to you. God is going to do his thing, but it's up to you and me to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Doesn't mean we need to be afraid. It means that we need to have the respect of the power that we're dealing with. And I said to you last week or 2 weeks ago that the Lord had spoken, and he said this process that, it's Lori's favorite word, right, Lori? Lori wants to choke me every time I say process. This is an ongoing joke. But it is the process. But the process, the Lord told me, it's a series of steps and stages. Steps and stages. It takes us from where we are now to where he wants us to be. It's that learning to walk with God in our journey through life. Every day, step by step, moment to moment. It doesn't stop. Step by step, every day. And we're learning. If we give ourselves to the process, we will learn. We'll learn about one of the most important things, what worship is about. When we worship God, it's not because he is egotistical. We worship God because it takes our focus off of the junk, off of the stuff that would drag us down, and put our eyes on the one who has the answers. So it teaches us, the process teaches us what worship is about, how to do it. And then to observe and experience the results of coming in God's presence and worship. It teaches us to learn how to trust God in these situations that we really don't want to be in. It teaches us how to be intimate with God, which is really what this whole deal is about, isn't it? To become one with God. It teaches us something else. It teaches us how to say no to the circumstances that want to bring us down. You know, a while ago, you guys weren't here, but I was telling them, there's a point every time sickness starts to come on you that you can either receive it into your spirit or you can say no. And you need to come to this spiritual place where you see sickness, any illness, as a work of the devil. Now, I'm not blaming the devil. It's part of, you know, the natural progression. But we are not of this world any longer. We have the Christ within us who has defeated every one of these things. We can call on the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead to quicken us in our mortal bodies. And we can say no, not in our soul, but through the power of the spirit. And so this process teaches us that. How to say no, when to say no. It teaches us how to exercise spiritual authority, how to walk in faith, and the benefits of being thankful for everything that we have. But you might say, well, why should I be thankful of, like Steve had the accident, why should I be thankful? Because you don't really know what that accident caused. That accident might have put Steve's agenda back to a point where maybe he would have got hit by a train. You never know. But faith will allow you to, you know, embrace that, to say God is in control of this. This part didn't get past God. And then to release that particular thing as he did to God and receive the peace and go in and finish the rest of his day and enjoy it. See, here's the important thing that we need to know about this. Because we're all Christians, we've all received Jesus Christ as Lord, the Holy Spirit has come to live with us, we do not have to do this process alone. We have a really cool helper who's actually a genius with all this stuff. Yeah. So when God accelerates, even the process gets accelerated. The process goes to a different dimension. And so the process goes about, in my opinion at least, part of it goes from getting to this place to staying in this place, the second part. You know, if you think about it, this fight is unfair. The fight we're having with the enemy is not fair. Not against us, against the enemy. Because we have the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus' blood. We have the Father whose will it is for us to be one with Him. Ultimately. So now it's about abiding. How to abide. How to function in this new realm. And there's a sudden flush. If you get this in your head, even though you don't, may not understand it or you may not know how to do it, you don't have to. Position yourself. There's a sudden flush of grace that comes. It doesn't save us from the process, but it accelerates our ability to absorb it and to learn from it. And like I said, I believe that we're at a point in the history of mankind where God is moving the timetable forward. Now, there's been several times through the years that He's done this, but I believe we're in that time right now, and we're seeing it both positively and negatively in what's going on in the world. And unfortunately, I hate to say this, but I think that many of us in the church are behind in our spiritual development. And we've wasted so much time with the religion and the do's and don'ts and forgetting about the love and the sacrifice and that Christ, you know, gave for His church. But it's not lost, right? He's given us examples. We saw the parable of the 10 virgins. You know, 5 were prepared, 5 weren't prepared, and so we need to remember that. In verse 13, that's Matthew 25. Verse 13, he says, "Watch, therefore, watch. Always stay aware and alert." The Passion Bible says. So aware and alert. That's a good prayer. Lord, help me to be aware and alert. Give me revelation so that I can be aware and alert of the situation that's around me, so I know exactly what to do. And I thank you, God, for your mercy, because it's not too late to self-correct. We can do it right now. There's forgiveness, there's grace, and there's mercy for this. But there is a major element that we need. And we need to pray for it. We need a deeper, committed passion for God and for the things of Christ. For the love of God. For the love of people. We just really need it. And we don't have it within us. We need to ask God. We need to petition the Lord for this grace. Because without it, we're not going to be able to maintain the elevation that God is wanting to put us in. I believe that we're in a period where God is redeeming the time, that God is allowing for this special graces to be totally, you know, released and flooding those hearts that really want it. Why? Because the days are evil. They are. I don't even know if I should tell you this, but after much prayer, we went to a gay wedding the other night. We didn't do the wedding, but we went. And it was out of the love, not just for, it was Pastor Marie's niece, but not just for the love of the niece, but for her brother, who was totally devastated. And so we didn't go to the actual service or whatever they had. I don't know what they had because we weren't there. We just went for the party. And I'll tell you, this young woman was embarrassed. And she was, I think that the love that we were able to show, and believe me, I did not want to go. I was throwing up in my mouth about going. But I felt the Holy Spirit say, judgment and condemnation will never redeem. It's my love that covers all sin. And they will remember my love expressed through you. And so we went. Anyway, the days are evil. And it was really weird. I mean, absolutely just strange. But we were at the good table. We had a good time. We laughed, and my daughter was there, and my brother-in-law. It was interesting. Anyway, it's a time where evil is being called good, and right wrong, and wrong right, and you could just see the safety measures that God has put in place through His Word, and just being banged up against is, you know, like somebody's taking a sledgehammer to these safeties that God has put in. But the way I understand it, the church, us, not the institution of the church, but we, the people, need to be that wall of light that can never be broken down by this evil. We need to be able to believe that and stand in that. So that when we get invited to something that we need to express love, we can go there without the fear of it overtaking us. We brought light to that place. And not us, but the light of God. Without saying a word, without preaching a word, without judging, without doing anything. Just went. Ate. I'm believing that we're going to see a redemption. Because God is redeeming the time. I could see it in her eyes. I could see it in her niece. That's what we're called to do. So, the question we need to ask is, am I part of that wall? Do I have enough confidence to be part of that wall of light? And only you could, you know that. You have to ask the Lord yourself. And if not, you got to ask Him to help you to catch up. And like I said, the good news is that this quickening spirit is on earth right now. God is accelerating things. He's looking for people with passion. That's all we need. We don't have to have knowledge. You didn't have to go to Bible school, all this. All you need is the passion for God and His things. Because He's looking for people who through which He can show Himself strong to the world. The good thing is that there's quick things to be had right now for those who are passionate about. There's spiritual equippings that God is releasing at totally new levels, you know. I'm not talking about just talking in tongues. I'm not talking about the prophetic. I'm talking about miracles, faith, healing. All part of the fruit of the Spirit. And we desperately need it. Not only do we need it, the world needs it. We need this. We need this display of power. But we got to catch up to the times. When we do, new levels of discernment will come. New levels of awareness. New levels of wisdom. And those will translate into insights in prayer. How to pray. Into healing. Into miracles, like I said. And into faith. You know, the three power gifts of the Spirit. So I'm going to pray for us later for this release of this quickening Spirit over us and the grace for the elevation. But I did want to talk a little bit, just a little bit more about a few other things here. Okay, what can I do, Pastor Roy? Well, we need to prepare ourselves to receive it. We need to be in a place, in our hearts now, to be able to receive grace. And we need that if we're going to catch up. See, because just getting prayer for God, I mean, I could pray for you and pray for myself for it, but just getting prayer for this grace that's necessary, it would be like, you know, a lot of people go out and buy these exercise machines and then they just put them in their house and then they never work out on them. They just hang clothes on them. See, we have something to do. We got to get on the exercise machine. We have to participate in order to be effective. I call that, you're learning to run. See, right now we got this pace, you know, sort of tripping, you know, whatever. But we gotta learn to run with the Lord. See, because you just can't walk into a quickening. You have to run. We gotta stop messing around with all the churchy stuff and learn to become intentional with God and the things of God. As intentional as He is toward us. And God, make no mistake about it, the Father is extremely intentional about us and the things that we're doing. You know, you think about it. God has to be intentional if He's going to run the entire universe, right? It would be chaos if God wasn't intentional about running the universe, right? He says, "For I know the thoughts and plans I have for you," says the Lord. "They are plans for good and not for disorder or disaster, to give you a future and a hope. See, God's intention these days is to give us all that, but to do it with speed. He's increasing it. I know the plans, but I'm going to do it a little quicker than you were expecting it. But here's the thing. We get to decide at what speed God will actually do this. How fast do you want to run? That's up to you. When we say yes, we will learn how to respond faster to the things of God. Because God will speak. God is speaking. You know, are we so distracted with all this other stuff that we're not really hearing what God is saying? We're sort of hearing it, but we're not really zoned in on it. We're like one of those old analog radios that are slightly off the channel. We hear him, but it's a little fuzzy. When we hear God speak quickly, what will happen? When we hear him clearly and quickly without the static, it develops spiritual reflexes in us. In other words, God will say something, we'll be able to respond quickly. It won't be even a matter of that we are thinking about it, you know, trying to discern it out. We hear God, we recognize it, we just move. We say yes with no hesitation. When we do that, it develops a greater hunger for more, of hearing more of God. Wow, well, that was good, God. Give me the, you know, what's the next thing? Next thing. And then our days become filled with the anticipation of God moving in, even in the mundane. Exciting. It's exciting the way to be a Christian in that manner. It's a drag when you just show up on Wednesday or Tuesday and Sunday, can't wait for it to get over and get the heck home and, you know, eat a bonbon or whatever you do on Sunday. But when you're saying yes to the Lord and you're understanding what he's saying, and it builds this anticipation. God, I want to hear the next thing. I want to do the next thing. And I become hungry for God. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me, God says. When we think faster in the Spirit, it helps to develop our mental acuity here in the natural. So suddenly we're able to have a wisdom to deal with the junk that goes on in our lives with a clarity that we didn't have before. See, because God, we're spirit, soul, and body. Is when we move ahead in the Spirit, we move ahead in all ways. Our body becomes more healthy, but our emotional state, our intellectual state also becomes healthier. It's all interconnected. It's making sense? When we have open spiritual eyes, we will see where God is and what he's doing in the midst of all the circumstances, right? He didn't say that we're not going to have these, right, circumstances. He said, be of good cheer. How can I be of good cheer? All this bad stuff is happening. Because I have a different perspective about what's happening. That's how I can be in good cheer. I'm not just looking at it as a disaster. I'm seeing God in it. Why? Because I have a hunger for God, and that's given me an elevation in my spiritual vision. I can see what he's doing in it. When I see what God is doing in it, I get a heightened prophetic gifting. And an unction. An unction is an anointed spiritual seeing. When that starts to happen, I get in step with God. God is speaking, and I'm just, yeah, God, let's go, me and you. Holy Spirit, guide me. Spirit, blow, right? Catch the wind, all the stuff that we sing, fly me like the wind. All that stuff starts to happen in real time. And then, excuse me, when we step in time with God, we'll be on time with what he wants us to do. We won't be behind. But it's important for us to stay in process. Because the process is how we'll stay present in the moment. We'll stay present in the moment. Let me go back to David. It's Samuel 17. I'm not going to read it all. It's verses 1 to 51. I would suggest that you read it. I'm going to just talk to you a little bit about it. So now David, right, he gets this prophetic word about being king, and he goes back to the sheep, and he's doing his sheep thing, and who knows, he's awkward, and he's trying to work it out, probably trying to figure out how he's going to be king and how's this going to work, like the rest of us, right? So anyway, he's going about his mundane past, and then what happens is the Philistines come and they start to invade the territory. So now it's a matter of whether or not they're going to remain a sovereign country or not. If the Philistines take over, they're all going to be part of the Philistine Empire and no more Israel. So the brothers go off to fight in the war against the Philistines. David, he's still tending the sheep, right? Because he's young. So suddenly he gets a job. His job is bringing lunch to his brothers. That's all he's got to do. So he goes there and he's bringing the lunch to the brothers and he hears this Goliath. I don't know if you realize how big Goliath was. 9 foot 9 inches. Yeah. Probably smelt like, who knows, man? Just like hairy, smelly. I could just picture him. Bad breath. Intimidating dude. Everybody. So what happens is, I don't know if you realize this, but what they used to do is they would have champions, you know, and the champion would be like the main bad guy. And whoever the bad guy from the toughest guy from each crowd. So if the champions fought, it would just be a one-on-one. Whoever won, that would be the country that won. It would avoid all the bloodshed of all the guys, all the troops going. So in this case, Goliath was the champion of the Philistines. And he calls forth a champion from Israel, and nobody shows up. Nobody says, you. They were like looking at Goliath saying, not me. That's it. Now remember, David was there just to bring lunch. But there's a lot on the line. David responds because of a prophetic word. The prophetic word is, you will be king of Israel. Now, David knows if no champion from Israel steps forward, then the Philistines are going to win. There is no country for him to become king of. So it spurred him to movement. Suddenly there's an acceleration. There's an elevation. David, the little shepherd boy, now has to act like a king. And so he does, because he received that word. Because he can't be king over nothing, right? He's got a vested interest. And it's interesting how, in my mind at least, how a prophecy can change stuff. The laying on of hands changes things. And when you receive a prophetic word spoken over you, your destiny can come faster when you embrace it. So I just want to take a step back for a second. And I know many of you have received prophetic words in this church, whether it's been from us or other people. I would hope that you wrote them down or that you remembered them. I ask you to revisit them. Remember the key phrases that might have been spoken over you, the key words. Revisit them. Because to be honest with you, most of us don't need a fresh word. We just need to remember what God has already said and believe that. Amen? So go back over what was already spoken. Pray for a quickening that you would understand what was spoken. Review it, remember it, believe it, and thank God for it. Because an opportunity will arise soon for you to actually step into what God has said. You got to recognize it. You got to believe it. And if you do, you will start moving in it. God will download, even if you don't think you're ready, it doesn't matter. The prophetic word will ignite that particular thing that God wants you to do or to be. So David, no one steps up. So David steps up, right, in this prophetic word. And he does it where he is presently. See, God gives him a quickening. God accelerates his process to become king and elevates him to begin acting like a king. Just think about it. If God gave you a quickening right now, think about whatever prophetic word. Ask yourself, would I be able to step into that at that level? What would that look like? What would I look like in it? Could I step in and start acting as if it always was? Remember, when God speaks a word, God is outside of time. So he speaks it, it is already. You see what I'm saying? He spoke the worlds into existence. He spoke everything into existence. It's not in linear time. God speaks and it is. If God speaks to you prophetically, it is already. You're just coming into it. We're easing into it. We're in the process of coming into it. But that process can be accelerated through review, through belief, and through moving in it in faith. I feel a lot of shuffling here in the spirit. What is he talking about? So anyway, so David goes forth, and they want to put Saul's armor on him. Now, Saul was very big, and David was like a scrawny kid. And, you know, it didn't fit. So David says, wait a minute, that's your stuff. You know, you keep your stuff. I'm going to work with my stuff. Now, why is that significant? See, because God will take where you're at right now, excuse me, and in David's case, the way he fought was with a sling and stones. God will take where you're at, what you know how to do, and elevate that particular thing. You don't have to emulate someone else. God will take what you have already and use that in this new realm. And like I said before, the real edge that David had to defeat Goliath was that he had a prophetic word. That word was that he was going to be king of Israel. And he wasn't king yet, so he knew he wasn't going to die that day. You see, it took faith for him to believe that, but he believed that. So David goes out, you know, he goes out to fight Goliath, but he's not just David the shepherd boy anymore. He's accelerated David, elevated David. He's not the shepherd boy anymore. He's the king, even though he looks like the shepherd boy. He's the king. And he takes kingly attributes with him when he goes to this fight. He takes leadership. He takes favor, the favor of God, an anointing of God, the prophetic word over him. Because let me tell you something, folks. None of us are going to be kings or priests, as the Bible says that we will be, and sons of the kingdom. If we're going to be that, you got to know that there are going to be giants that you're going to face. And going a step further, if there's no giants in your way blocking you, you're not going to move ahead. Because the road ahead is not this way, it's this way. You need to defeat that giant in the power of what you already have and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and get on his back and jump to the next level. That's the way it works. I want you to hear this. This is profound. Your life of power in the Spirit is defined by the quality of the opposition that you will face. You're not going to occupy that next place until you displace the thing that's against you that's currently bigger than you are. And that's the way it works. Because it's by faith that we do all of this stuff. Not by might, not by power, right, sister? Amen. But by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. And it's in faith in that being true. See, you got to beat the devil on the level that you're on, and then that devil is going to seem bigger and badder than you are, stronger than you are, and you're going to hear him, you know, you'll never defeat me. But what he's meant for evil, God has meant for good. Isn't that true? You know, you think about that when Israel was promised the land, when they were coming out of Egypt, they were promised this promised land, right? And so they go through the desert, you know the story, and they come to the edge of the promised land, and there's 12 spies that they're going to send in. Now, we just casually throw off that 12 spies. These guys were like the SEAL team. They weren't just Joe Blows. I mean, these guys were the toughest, craftiest guys that they could find in Israel. So they all go in, 10 come back, and they say, oh, you know, I see myself as a grasshopper. A grasshopper. Tough guys. Grasshoppers. When I'm standing against the enemy, I'm a grasshopper. Yeah, that's the way to win it. Why? Because they listen to the voice of defeat. And that voice was not God's. The prophetic word from God was, go take the land. Right? Joshua and Caleb didn't listen to him, right? They came back, gave a good report. Yeah, we could do it. Why? What was the difference between those 10 SEAL guys, SEAL team, and Joshua and Caleb? Well, if you look at the history of it in the scripture, Joshua and Caleb had developed an intimacy with God. They knew God. They knew exactly what God was capable of doing in their lives because they spent time with him in worship. And worship then becomes like so key because it's in that worship that we become intimate with God. And it's our intimacy with God that allows us. Our intimacy with God is the thing that the enemy is most afraid of. Do you know that? When you're close with God, you know, you remember the whatever the story is, the guy or the picture, you know, he comes against this demon and he's like this little guy, but behind him is like this big lion of Judah. That's what the enemy sees. He doesn't see you. Worship, praise, bring intimacy. And that is the key to moving in the quickening. You don't know anything else? Just worship the Lord. Just worship the Lord. Lord, I worship. You don't have to understand how it works. Matter of fact, God is probably not going to tell you how it works beforehand. He wants you to move in faith. It's essential. And here's why. We were born, every person alive, were born in our DNA is the capacity to magnify. We magnify. So, like Bob Dylan said, you got to worship somebody. It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you got to worship somebody. That's right. So you're either going to magnify God or you're going to magnify the circumstances. When you magnify the circumstances, what does magnify mean? Makes it bigger. Your circumstances become bigger. Right? When you worship the Lord, what happens? The Lord gets bigger. And the circumstances fade away in his hugeness. Right? Worship is important, essential. Because we're going to magnify something and we need to magnify the Lord and not our circumstances. Because either God will see God bigger than our circumstances or our circumstances bigger than God. Our problems are not bigger than God. Like my friend Mike said today, nobody's bigger than God. I loved it. I tell you, it really touched my heart when he said that. Now, here's the other thing. You can't wait to worship the Lord till you're in the presence of the giant. You can't wait for the giant to show up and then start, well, Lord, I worship you. No, that's not the way it works. It's not like, you're pulling out a gun and shooting the... You worship the Lord because you get in intimacy and you know the character of God so that when you're confronted by the giant has to bow before you. Because you know that God, there's nothing greater than God, right? Nothing bigger. So you got to settle it beforehand. I will magnify the Lord. Who is worthy to be praised? And I will magnify him now so that when I get into the middle of my circumstances, It'll be part of what I do. I'll magnify him. And then you'll be like Joshua and Caleb, saying, hey, yeah, we got this. Giants, yeah, they stink. They're bums. We can do it. Come on, God, let's go do it. And you'll do it. You'll look at the giant and you'll just say, come on, God, let's do it. And you'll do it. And every time you succeed, every step that you take, every season of which God shows himself, every stage that God shows himself faithful, your faith grows. And as your faith grows, your power grows. Because I tell you, when you do that, you'll look at that giant, and when you're finished with him, he'll be bowing down to you. Then you stand on his back and you leap into that next level. And that's the way it works, my friends. In the life of the spirit, get used to it. If you get used to it, you'll get to enjoy it. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. It's like fighting the good fight. You know when Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight there in 2 Timothy 4? What do you think the good fight is? Fight the good fight. Sounds good, right? What is the good fight? I'll tell you what the good fight is. The good fight is the fight that you win. Any fight that you win is a good fight. Any fight that you lose is not a good fight. And here's the thing. We have been assured victory. So, like I said, it's not really a fair fight. We have an assurance. All are on our side. Two-thirds of the angels, Jesus Christ, and you know, the line of Judah, the Father, the Holy Spirit, all on our side. And we were born to fight this battle. We were called to war.
That's right.
Don't cower from it. And I'll say it again. You are defined, your life is defined in the Spirit by the quality of the opposition that's against you. So, going back to David. All right, so he knocks down Goliath with what he had, which was the stones. He just knocked him down. He didn't kill him with the stones. Remember how he killed him? He took Goliath's sword and cut off Goliath's head. Symbolically, this is what we do. We'll defeat our enemy with the thing that he was planning to kill us with. That's right. Amen is right. See, why? Why could he do this? David was living at an elevated place. His platform had raised. He went from one day being a shepherd boy to a quickening that bestowed on him the threefold anointing of king and priest and prophet. Imagine that. But isn't that the same destiny that the Bible says that we have? Doesn't Isaiah 61:6 say? It does say it. I'm going to read it. But you will be called the priest of the Lord. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are the chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Royal priesthood. A holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. And Revelation 1:6, and he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. And here's the key to the elevation that comes, the prophetic word. So when God speaks to you, and you recognize it, and you know it's God, God will always speak from his heart. Right? Yeah. How do we respond? We need to respond from our heart. God's heart to our heart. God's heart to our heart. Even if he says, what he says confounds you. Even if God says something to you and you're like, what? And just blow. Say yes, Lord. Respond. It reminded me of Jehoshaphat. You know Jehoshaphat, remember him? The guy was jumping. Jumping Jehoshaphat. Oh, never mind. So here's what's going on. The armies of Moab, Mount Seir, and Ammon are coming against them. I probably talked about these. They're prophetically, they stand for things. Giants, you know, different things, which we won't talk about today. But Jehoshaphat sees this army and he gets freaked out. So he says, verse 3 says that he feared. But what did he do? He sought the Lord. So when you're in fear, when the giant comes, seek the Lord. Right? And then in verse 12 it says, "Oh God," he says, right? "Oh God, will you not judge? For we have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you." Amen. That's the key. Amen. Our eyes are on you. I did want to read this one part. This one part. It's from that same portion of scripture, this Second Chronicles. Anybody getting tired? I'm almost finished, but I really wanted to sort of finish this. This is Second Chronicles, chapter 17. I'm going to read, chapter 20. I'm going to read verse 20. "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army of the Lord, saying, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever.' Now when they began to sing praise to the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against each other, against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another." See, the army of Jehoshaphat's army didn't have to even fight. What they had to do was praise. They were in fear, but they sought the Lord. God spoke a prophetic word. The prophetic word was, you're not going to have to fight this. You just stand and watch it. See, because the enemy is not a united front. It's not like we have the two-thirds of the angels, and like I said, the Holy Spirit and all. And we're all a united front. The enemy is not a united front. These devils fight against each other. They're not united. You don't have to worry about them. They're just roaring together, but they're not united. They will turn on each other. Jehoshaphat had a heart-to-heart with God. God told him he wouldn't have to fight the battle. But he didn't ask God, "How? How's that going to happen, God? You got to tell me. Why?" Right, don't we do that? Why? We're a little whiny. He just said, "Yes, yes." No explanation, yes. See, because when we have a heart-to-heart with God, then he will have a mind-to-mind with us. But one has to precede the other. Heart-to-heart forms a connection. That intimacy that we've been talking about. And then through that, God will give a strategy. Through that, he'll begin to unfold the process. Our part, listen. Receive. Yes. Not question. Don't worry, don't fret, don't worry about what you've done and what you didn't do, da, da, da. Just listen, receive. I want to say this because I think a lot of us get hung up with our own failings, our own flaws. God will never be disillusioned with us because God never had any illusions about us to begin with. The scripture says that he knows our frame, that we are dust. He knows everything about us and still remains committed to us. If we believe, he will speak the prophetic word, as he did for David. He will define who we are in his eyes. And when a quickening comes, we will live by the prophecy that he's already spoken with. Because it'll help us to see what we're to be and move in that particular thing. So when you say, "Yes, Lord," when the Lord speaks something to you and you say, "Yes, Lord," we got to take that yes and put it on. We got to clothe ourselves with it. It's like putting on Christ, And then he will be right there to help us, to put on the persona of the person he says that we will be, but maybe have not yet come to be. Because he says who we are. Okay, I'm going to close. Just a few things to ponder. A couple of questions that I hope that you would ask yourself. Did we write them on the board? Did we write them? Did I give you the questions? No? All right, let me just say them. You got to ask yourself, am I prepared to be inconvenienced by God? Am I prepared? Am I prepared to quicken my spiritual pace? Or am I just going to stay here and sort of jog? Am I prepared to become more than I ever thought I could be? Is my heart open enough to receive His heart? Okay, that's what I have for you today. I do want to pray for you. Pray for us. So I want you to just close your eyes for a minute. Think about what I said. Am I prepared to be inconvenienced? Am I prepared to run a little quicker with God? To seek Him? Am I prepared to become more than I ever thought I could be? Just as David, God said king, he was looking for, I don't know, be boss over his brothers. Is my heart open enough to believe and to receive? Take a second. God, today I believe you gave me this message for your people. Lord, this is a prophetic utterance, I believe. I believe you wanted us to know this today, Lord. You are speaking this into us so that we would become all the aspects of what was delineated today. We can't do it, Lord. You know that already. You know our frame. You know exactly. You have no illusions about us, Lord. But you love us. You love us. So, Lord, I do ask for every heart that's open here today that you would release the quickening spirit to bring us to an elevated platform. And God, you would equip us to be able to hold that platform, to operate from that platform, and that when the enemy would come in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord, your Spirit, Lord, would raise up a standard against him. We thank you, Lord. I proclaim the blood of Jesus Christ over us, Lord, over our spirits and souls and our bodies, over the lintels and doorposts of all that we are, that this spirit of death would pass by us, and that we would move in the everlasting life of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for the blood of the Lamb. I thank you for the blood, Lord. Thank you so much, God. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Now, Father, I pray as hearts are open, that you release the grace, the spirit of acceleration and elevation. Blow on us, Lord. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And the church said, Amen. Amen.